gift from you. The world is turning. And indeed, it is a good day here in WFYL, 1180 on your dial. This is the Kathy Barnett Show. Kathy's been delayed a bit, but this is Al Locke standing in for Kathy, and she'll be here shortly. But the news of the day, of the week, perhaps a month, is that Kim Davis is out of jail. And basically, the Christians from across the nation, from New York City to who knows where else, they anticipated perhaps even 10,000 people rallying to her defense there in Kentucky. And candidate Huckabee showed up, and Mike Huckabee, and basically welcomed her out of jail. The judge released her. It's like a double standard. Here in Montgomery County, we had D. Bruce Haynes issue marriage licenses to gay couples before it was law in Pennsylvania, when the Pennsylvania Constitution prohibited it. Attorney General Kane, who's under pressure now to resign from her own party because of all the shenanigans she did, backed Mr. Haynes, and as did Josh Shapiro, and they didn't go to jail. They didn't be fined. They didn't have anything happen to them. But in Kentucky, the lady refused to issue same-sex marriages because of her religious convictions, and the judge sent her to jail. So it's a complete double standard, and it's one that thank God for people like Kim Davis, who stands up for her beliefs. And we here at WFYL, at least this person in this chair, backs Kim 100% and wish her well. And we're going to see how this all plays out. But right now, she's out of jail, and this is one good day, as far as I'm concerned, and sure, most of the Christians. Good job, Russell. We got Russell Orler on the board here. He's one of the best, and it's good to see his face this morning, and it's good to have him in the background here making things happen. And you only realize how valuable people like Russell are when you don't have them. So God bless him. I'm hoping that that we have many, many more days and weeks of good news like Kim Davis getting out of jail. We're going to have some exciting people to interview this morning, including Brittany of the Commonwealth Foundation. We're going to have her on here shortly. We're going to have a full schedule. That's as you all realize, Kathy Barnett is a feature in herself. She's a tremendous person. She's a fireball of activity, and really somebody to listen to if you didn't have anything else to listen to. And this morning, Kathy is well worth tuning in to WFYL 1180 AM. Let's see if Brittany is on the line here. Brittany, do you hear me?
I do. How are you this morning?
Just fine. We're so happy to have you, Brittany. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Commonwealth Foundation and the role you play in it, and give us the whole nine yards, if you could. Thank you.
Sure. So my name is Brittany, and I'm a community liaison with the Commonwealth Foundation. And for those of you who are not yet familiar with the Commonwealth Foundation, it is a free market organization that promotes liberty-minded solutions to public policy. And I actually run an initiative called Free to Teach, which works to empower educators in Pennsylvania to create the best possible environment for themselves and their students. Because a lot of times, teachers feel like their hands are tied by mandates or union rules. And these rules can be very confusing and hard to navigate. So our mission is to help teachers through these situations so that they can succeed in their personal and professional life.
Well, that's really a worthwhile goal, particularly with situations like the situation down there in Kentucky with Kim Davis. It seems like religious beliefs and free speech, all the foundations of the Constitution are under attack. And I really commend the Commonwealth Foundation for having people like you defend our basic liberty.
So what what we, the issue here with a lot of what teachers are facing is that in most of the school districts in Pennsylvania, the unions have come in and they have sole bargaining rights with the school district, and they write these contracts behind closed doors that make it very difficult for teachers to leave. And therein lies the problem, because you have a lot of teachers who don't want to be union members, who don't want to give their money to the NEA or the PSEA, which oftentimes support political causes that teachers do not support. So we have teachers who have come to us and they have said, you know, I'm pro-life. I'm not comfortable with money being taken out of my dues to be used for political purposes that support pro-choice causes or candidates and things like that. So we help them when they are going through these types of situations and show them that they do have options.
Well, that's really commendable. I think it's really needed now. We raised our four children in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, and Swarthmore is a wonderful community in 100 different ways, but it's home of Swarthmore College. It's a very liberal community, so I'm well aware how the schools have changed over the years, because our children are relatively far spaced apart, and they really, you know, it's unbelievable what my children brought home and what they told me as far as what they were taught in school. You know, that Ho Chi Minh was a independence leader, and the government of South Vietnam was corrupt, Catholic, and I forget what the other thing they called is, but they really made an effort to disparage Christianity. And the founding fathers, another handout was founding fathers were white, racist, Anglo-Saxon, it goes Protestants. I'm total agreement that the individual teachers need to be informed of their rights so that they can push back against some of the things, politically correct things, that are being put out in our schools today.
Right, and it's not even so much that we don't focus on the curriculum exactly. We focus on how they're kind of, and one teacher put it so heartbreakingly, she felt trapped. And that's because the rules in these collective bargaining agreements prevent them from leaving. And many times, you know, a teacher will decide they want to resign union membership, but they're locked into their collective bargaining agreement for another 3 years. So the unions write it so that there's only a 15-day window most of the time. At the end of the 3 to 5 year contract, when teachers can write their union resignation. So to say, you know, you decided, you found out where a lot of the union money is going, we actually put up an article yesterday, A Day in the Life of a Union Dollar, and about 36 cents of every dues dollar goes to political, ideological, and other related activities. Almost 45% goes to running the union, and only about 17 cents per dollar goes to representational activities like collective bargaining. So say you find that out and you want to leave, but your agreement doesn't end until 2018. Aside from speaking out, there's not that much you can do, which is why Free to Teach is trying to, you know, build a network of educators across the state so that no one finds themselves trapped in that situation.
Well, that's really good. I'm glad you're putting this out on the air, that our listeners, who a lot of them are teachers, my sister's a teacher, basically, know how things actually work so that they can take action if they wish to.
Yeah, and, you know, on our website, freetoteach.org, we have a lot of resources available that explains everything from, you know, the collective bargaining to what a religious objection is. Because a lot of teachers can resign their union membership, and usually they have to become fair share fee payers. But they can file a religious objection, and that means the equivalent of their fair share fee would go to a 501c3 charity. So there are options out there so that you don't feel like, you know, we can't, unfortunately, at this moment, just wave a wand and make fair share fees go away or make Pennsylvania a right-to-work state instantly. But there are options for teachers out there who would rather their equivalent of their fair share fee go to a charity.
That's good. Also, that's for the teachers to know what their options are is really important.
Exactly. So we have the Teacher's Bill of Rights, and that's something that after talking to a group of different type teachers across Pennsylvania, we came up with a few things that teachers have expressed that they would like to see as their own Bill of Rights. You know, the right to associate professionally as they choose without being forced to contribute financially to an organization. The right to be rewarded as a professional based on their job performance. The right to protect their paycheck and not be forced to fund political views that they don't agree with.
That's great. We're coming up on a break, Brittany, so we'll continue this discussion once we get to the other side of it. Thanks for giving us all this great information. We'll be right back. On this good day. A gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice to sing a song of praise on this good day. Indeed, it is a good day here at WFYL 1180 on your dial. Kathy Barnett, this is Kathy Barnett's show, and we're looking forward to having Kathy on momentarily. Meanwhile, this is Al Locke filling in for, and we're very privileged to have Brittany of the Commonwealth Foundation. She was just detailing and outlining Commonwealth's activities there and helping teachers have more say in how their union dues are spent. And Brittany, if you wouldn't mind continuing your information,
Sure. And, you know, I didn't grow up in a household with any teachers. So when I was in school, I had no idea about these kinds of, you know, behind the scenes politics that teachers had to deal with. And we actually work with a teacher who she came to us, and her name is Julie. And she just didn't like, you know, how things were being run, and she felt like she needed a say. And she actually had an op-ed in Penn Live, the Patriot News, last week. And it, you know, she asked questions in such a great way. And this is what I would ask people when this topic comes up. And she says, you know, as a non-union teacher, I pay $435 per year to the union, a private organization, just to keep my public school job. Is that not outlandish? And I think any reasonable person would agree. You know, imagine if someone came to you today and said, well, you're doing a good job, you know, in your career, but in order to keep your job, you have to pay us almost $500 a year just to keep your job, even if you don't agree with us. I don't think most Pennsylvanians would stand for that, and yet we ask our public school teachers to have to deal with that in that environment every day. So I would ask people, you know, if you're a school teacher or you know a school teacher, please consider sending them to our website so that they can learn more. It's at freetoteach.org. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And we're even on Pinterest. And there are a lot of great articles from educators around the state telling their story, and also just lots of resources for educators out there who really aren't sure, you know, what's going on in their district or what their collective bargaining agreement says. And of course, people, you know, educators and people can reach out to us at any time if they have specific questions. And, you know, we're happy to be that resource for educators so that they can feel empowered and have the freedom to make choices that are best for them.
That's excellent. That's really good information. I'm sure a lot of educators out there, a lot of teachers have felt restrained and basically put upon by these arbitrary contract agreements. And I'm glad that the Commonwealth Foundation is coming to their assistance. And I commend you personally and the Commonwealth Foundation collectively for doing what you're doing. Thank you.
No, I mean, everyone talks about how education is so important, and that's because it is. And yet, you know, we're asking our teachers to have to deal with all these mandates and these regulations, and it's not fair. So, you know, even if I'm not a teacher, but, you know, one day I do hope to have children, and I want them to be in a classroom where the teacher feels confident that she can make the best decisions for not only herself, but for my future children and for their education. So, you know, you don't need to be an educator to get involved. I would encourage anyone to look into the the organization that we've built up, Free to Teach from the ground. It's only a few years old, but we definitely are building a network of educators who want to stand up for what they believe in, and we're very proud of that. And so we should actually be thanking the teachers, because they're the ones who have to deal with, you know, backlash and harassment for potentially standing up to the union.
Yes, we need to pray for our teachers and pray for our school system. This has been going on for a long time. It's one of my friends, Rocco Polidoro from Delaware County, is head of the American Legion down there in Springfield, Pennsylvania. He said the VFW, or the American Legion magazine, said that if our enemies would have thought to impose a system on our schools to hurt the nation, they couldn't have come up with a more diabolical system than we have. And the teachers union has, unfortunately, is made up of some of the people that want to hurt our country, that want to bring down some of our fundamental values that have made America great over the years. And they're basically influencing our children to have some of the attitudes that they have, and they don't realize it is in the long term going to hurt our children. So I appreciate the Commonwealth Foundation giving the teachers more power to basically teach what they want and be free of the restraints of some of these proven ideological extremists. So thank you again for providing an avenue of assistance to some of the teachers, which I think all the parents will agree, some of the finest people they know have been teachers, dedicated their lives to helping our children. But on the other hand, the leadership of some of the unions that represent the teachers is basically very skewed to the left, and that's unfortunate.
Well, you know, and it's very clear to make the point that, you know, we are not a union-busting organization. We're not here to demonize union members. We just think it should be about freedom, the freedom to associate how you choose. And there are a lot of teachers out there who don't have the freedom to leave the union because it's not best for them. And ultimately, that's what we're about. You know, how can you say no to letting someone have the freedom to choose what organization is going to best represent them? So that's really what we're fighting for, is the ability for teachers to, you know, leave if they want to because they don't agree with the politics.
That's really good. We just privileged to have Kathy come into the studio now, and it's going to take me
good
off.
Good morning. Oh, really, Russell? Oh, my goodness. Yes, it is so awesome.
I'll add to the actual clapping here. Well, Brittany, now you're going to have a professional do the interview. I was just trying to fill in there briefly. God bless you for what you're doing, and I'm going to sign off here. And
talking to you.
It was. Bye now.
You know what? You know, as I was listening, driving in, Brittany, I mean, the thing that was really resonating with me is it seems so inhumane that you would have someone forcing teachers, for example, in this particular case, to pay to work. You have to pay to work. If you want to work, you have to pay. And the fact that then you're locked in, I can't think of, and I've worked in a number of different fields, from Wall Street to corporate to in the teaching profession at the university level. And if I was disgruntled, didn't like what was being done, I could just walk out the door and continue on with my life. It almost seems like a little servitude going on.
Yeah, we actually have started kind of comparing the fair share fee to a tax, because they do. They just take it from your paycheck, whether you want them to or not. And that's exactly, you know, what's happening. It's a lot of teachers don't feel that it's fair. They don't want the representation. And yet, not by their own choice, they have money taken out of their paycheck.
Yeah, that just seems so not right on so many levels. We've had Brittany with us from Commonwealth. Thank you so very much, Brittany, for being here with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and how can they reach your organization?
www.freetoteach.org.
Awesome. Brittany, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, and have a great day.
Okay, guys, stay with us. We'll be right back. It is a new day. I'm your host, Kathy Barnett, on 1180 WFYL. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We're going to be talking mostly about Miss Kim Davis. Yes, we are. So get your pens ready. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. Now, let me just throw out, even before I get on Kim Davis, you know, of course, there's a number of headlines, and I'm listening to some of the people that I've talked to. They want to hear more of the headlines. So let me just say once again, from last week, we have one more week. This time next week, so next Wednesday, we're going to have our second Republican debate. It is going to be on Wednesday, September 16th, and it is going to be aired on CNN and Salem Radio. So we're going to have our second debate. I'm so excited about that because, you know, with time, right, with time, you begin to figure out who it is you're dealing with. I often tell young people who are dating, you know, just give it a moment, right? Because when you first start dating someone, you're not really dating that person. You're dating that person's representative. You know what I mean? I mean, like the representative, he opens up the door for you. He pulls out the chair for you, buy you flowers each time, write cute little notes. Just so sweet. That's the representative. But then if you give it a few moments, you know, give it some time, the representative is going to go away because he's just representing. And then you're going to be introduced to the real person. And then at that time, you can decide, do you like this person or not? Is this someone you want to connect your wagon to for the rest of your life? And it's kind of the same way with these politicians, almost kind of like a courtship of kind of give it some time. You know, they're going to say enough. They're going to do enough eventually, especially in this media saturated culture in which we live in. You're going to eventually figure out who they are and what they're doing. So I'm so very grateful because I think we know a little bit more about Ms. Carly Fioroni. I gotta look at her name. I think I just slaughtered her name. But we also learned a little bit more about Donald Trump as well, in light of Miss Kim David, Carly Fiorina. Sorry about that. Miss Carly Fiorina. So I think we've learned a little bit more about Miss Carly and Mr. Donald Trump as it relates to, you know, how conservative are they, kind of thing, right? Are they just conservative on those things like economics? And you know, and we don't even know if they're really conservative on those particular things. But definitely when it comes to a sense of morality, knowing right and wrong, standing on the side of right, they're not so conservative in that regard. We're also going to talk about, we have another cop shooting, ambush style, in Las Vegas over the weekend. We have judges ruling that a transgender born girl cannot use boys' restroom. All kinds of stuff, all kinds of mayhem going on. I think we have on air with us Diane. Are you on air now? Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, most definitely. Diane is the director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. And so you are here, Diane, because I was reading one of your articles. First of all, go out to American Family Association of Pennsylvania, sign up, subscribe to their emails, because, I mean, it's not 3 and 4 pages of writing. It's very, you know, 2 to 3 sentences. On a variety of topics, just kind of give you a summary overview of what's going on in our beautiful state of Pennsylvania. And so I would strongly suggest that you go out there and subscribe to that so you can stay informed, just as informed as I am. But Diane, I was reading last night your article that came out on Kim Davis, and she is free.
She is for right now.
For the moment.
How long that lasts.
I know. Now, why do you say that for right now?
Because nothing has changed in Kentucky. The only thing that has changed is she's no longer in jail, no longer solitary confinement, where she spent the last 5 days, last Thursday.
And I think, and I think that's a notable comment, right? Because not only was she in prison, she was put into solitary confinement for the past 5 days. And I mean, solitary confinement is what is typically reserved for the most hardened of criminals, where you get 1 hour out of 24 hours to come outside of this little four-wall box. She was not only in prison, her rights being taken away from her, her freedom being taken away from her to roam around and be with her family, but then he upped it a notch and put her into solitary confinement.
Right. She was only able to see her attorneys through the glass barrier for the entire time she was there. She was not even able to see her family. So, you know, she's not a troublemaker. She did not want any of this public attention. She's not a publicity hound. As we can, you know, we can look back at, I believe it was 2004 when the San Francisco mayor, Gavin Newsom, began to issue so-called marriage licenses to same-sex couples, which was totally against the law in California. And he was hailed as a hero by the homosexual activists, where we have, you know, Kim is actually obeying Kentucky law.
Yes.
Because when the Supreme Court on June 26th handed down a decision saying that all states had to allow so-called same-sex marriage, that meant that was a decision that did not change the laws in the states that had marriage defined as between one man and one woman. And 75% of Kentucky voters back in 2004 voted to have marriage only defined as between one man and one woman placed in their constitution, and that remains today.
And
that
so
has
now
not changed.
And so now go back for a minute. The will of the people was what, 74%?
75% of Kentucky voters chose to add the definition of marriage in the Constitution to be only between one man and one woman. That remains. Nothing has changed in Kentucky since the Supreme Court decision. So the law of the land is in Kentucky is still marriage is between one man and one woman. A court decision does not change the law.
And not only does the court decision not change the law, but it was an illegal court decision.
Correct.
I've been, especially on social media all this weekend, it's just been a firestorm of those who we would generally say is in our camp of thinking, you know, being very conservative and, you know, pro-family, pro-life, splitting hairs all weekend on various social media threads, even on phone calls with various people, kind of splitting hairs
right
on whether or not she should, you know, just resign, just follow the law, you know, it's the law, and what kind of land do we are a land of laws, and if we don't follow the laws, we're going to have anarchy. And I'm like, wait a minute. If she is being illegal, then she is she's not the first cause of illegality. If the first cause would be our Supreme Court,
right,
that overstepped their bounds of interpreting law, and then they went into the role of Congress, who has the responsibility of making law.
Right. Just have to look at the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 1, where all legislation, you know, comes from the Congress. It's not a judge's or a court's job to make law. I mean, our founding fathers were very good at having the division of power to create the balance of power, and that's being totally ignored today in so many cases. So, you know, it's just a matter of us getting back to the Constitution.
And not just, I mean, you know, I was reading this other article that was talking about we are now living in a post-Constitution America because, I mean, right, you know, it's kind of comical when you read it. But let me let you hear Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, statement as Kim Davis was being locked up and placed into solitary confinement. And the thing I think we have to remember, Kim Davis is me. Kim Davis is you. You know, she's not Oprah. She's, you know, with her entourage. She's not Hillary Clinton, who can just kind of go around and around the merry-go-round and never face anything. You know, she doesn't have the perfect lighting and the makeup crew or any of that. She is me. She is you, just looking around and saying, no, I don't want to do that. You're going against everything that I believe. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to not only take away your freedom, but we're going to really try to break you down and put you into solitary confinement because we can do that. But what's interesting, as she was going through all that process, Josh Earnest came out in a comment, the White House the White House press secretary saying, I would just say on principle that the success of our democracy depends on rule of law. And there is no public official that is above the law, certainly not the president of the United States, but neither is the Rowan County clerk. That's a principle that is enshrined in our Constitution and in our democracy, and it's one obviously the courts are seeking to uphold. Now, as he was saying that on that very day, Hillary Clinton, mid-level government IT worker, decided to invoke his Fifth Amendment related to Hillary's email server.
Yeah, and I think of Eric Holter, who chose not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. And, of course, here in Pennsylvania, we have Kathleen Kane, who did the same thing just weeks after the Supreme Court ruling back in June of 2013. So we see a lot of
double standards going on, yep, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, so, you know, it, the law applied to some people, but not to the elites. And at some point, Americans have to realize we are not peasants. We don't have a royal class of people. And we're not the peasants. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Good morning. We're back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Here's the call-in number, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. I'm getting a number of social media comments, so I know you're listening. So if you're listening, pick up the phone, 610-539-TALK, and let your voice be heard. You know, as an adjunct professor, one of the things I recognize is that if you're thinking it, many others are thinking it also. So just come on, add your two cents in here. Whether you agree or oppose, you will not be berated. I can assure you of that. But I would love to have your voice heard. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. So I have Diane Gramley on the phone with me. She is calling. I'm talking to her from, she is the director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. So, you know, Diane, right before we went on break, we were giving kind of a short list, a truncated list of, you know, Josh Earnest saying, you know, we are a land of laws. And in order to have a successful democracy, it depends on the rule of law. And no one is above the law. Okay, next. That same day, a mid-level government IT worker decided to announce his to invoke his Fifth Amendment right regarding Hillary Clinton's email server. We have Hillary just going around and around the merry-go-round with her email server, completely illegal. We have Lois Lerner and the IRS scandal. It has been confirmed that they were targeting, they were intentionally targeting conservative groups for audits.
Yep, they were. So, and you know, it definitely is more and more show of a double standard.
Yeah, and then you have Eric Holder. He was just held in contempt with the Fast and Furious. Yes, with Congress on Fast and Furious, refusing to turn over documents. I have the documents. I'm not going to give you the documents because I'm above the law. He's not in prison. He hasn't been fined or any of that stuff. You have these sanctuary cities in the United States who have decided we're not going to cooperate with federal officials on enforcing immigration laws. So what we have is this tremendous amount of blatant, in-your-face double standards. The laws apply to some people, but not to the elite group of people.
Yeah, that message is definitely still out there, and it's becoming more and more evident to even the average American that there is a double standard in this country.
Do you think Americans see it?
I believe so. I mean, I think they're seeing it more and more. I think that's one reason why Donald Trump is becoming, you know, is so far out in the front when it comes to the presidential race. And not that that's a plug to support him, but I believe that that's one of the reasons, because Americans are becoming more and more fed up with, and they're seeing this becoming more of a nation that does not follow the law, and that kind of makes the laws up as they go in some cases, at least in their enforcement of the law.
Yeah, you know, and when they want to make a point, you know, like they don't just want to put a period at the end of that sentence. They want to put an exclamation point. So the period would be, I'm going to imprison you. The explanation point is, I'm going to now place you into solitary confinement so that I can break you down mentally and emotionally and force you to do what I want you to do, because you not issuing a marriage license is paramount to you murdering someone, and we need to break you.
Yeah, and that was, it even came as a shock. One of the reasons that the judge put her in jail, Kim Davis in jail to begin with, is that he felt that just fining her, you know, just for so much money per day until she decided to change her mind, he did not believe that that was going to work. So he chose to send her to prison instead to break her down, as you're saying, and to make an example of her, because she's not the only county clerk in Kentucky who is refusing to issue marriage license.
Right.
And we need to clarify that she was not just singling out homosexual couples to refuse to issue marriage license to them. She was not issuing marriage licenses to any couples who came to her office in the county courthouse there in Rowan County. She wasn't issuing any marriage license because she wanted clarification of the law. She was wanting the legislature to pass a bill that this was before the Supreme Court handed down their decision. She wanted them to pass a bill that would protect those who had strong religious convictions about the issue of same-sex marriage. And one of the issues that still remains, even with Kim being free, is that her name still appears on the marriage licenses that her deputy clerks are currently issuing.
She
wants
right.
her name removed.
Right.
Pardon?
But, you know, I say, yes, you're absolutely correct. Her name is still on there. I mean, and again, it's just so wrong on so many levels. And some of the things you will not hear from the mainstream media, because I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, every social media, unfortunately, I find myself plugging into.
Kind of overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. It's so overwhelming. But nonetheless, it gives you somewhat of a pulse of, you know, what people are thinking and what people know, what they don't know. And most people, when I tell them, did you know that Kim is a Democrat? Mm-hmm. They're like, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder why mainstream media is not putting that information. I mean, they're putting everything else out there about her divorces and everything else, what she ate, you know, where she goes. Why is it, do you think, they're not putting out that she's a Democrat?
Because they want people to assume she's one of those nasty Republicans.
Yes, one of those nasty Christian Republicans. See,
right.
But she is a lifelong Democrat.
Exactly, she is. And she's, and it is very interesting that they're not reporting that she's a Democrat, because their main thing is they want to make Republicans as being the party, the sole party that opposes so-called same-sex marriage. So they're just skipping that part of her background, although, as you mentioned, they're digging up everything else from her past. And we have to realize that she's only been a Christian 4 years, and all the stuff, all the dirt that they're digging up is prior to that 4 years. And they don't understand God's grace and how God can forgive people of their sins no matter what they are.
How amazing, even when you said that, you know, she's, I've been saved for a very long time now. We're talking about double-digit decades.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a baby in Christ. And my heart just fluttered when you said that, you know, and she's taking a stand that I know Christians who've been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years would not take. And she's taking a stand, one, to keep her own self pure and holy, you know, and she literally has all of hell coming against her in the most orchestrated manner. And this baby is standing nonetheless. Praise God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And she said, I never imagined a day like this would come where I would be asked to violate a central teaching of Scripture and of Jesus himself regarding marriage. To issue a marriage license which conflicts with God's definition of marriage with my name affixed to the certificate would violate my conscience. And, that's what she still faces.
I mean, and she's a baby.
Yes.
You know, another thing that we are not hearing, one, is that she's a lifelong Democrat, so she's one of them. But we're also not hearing the fact that this gay couple, this narrative that they're putting out there about this gay couple is that, you know, we just love each other and we just want to get married. And why are you being so mean to me? But in fact, this gay couple drove all the way from Ohio, found the only or one of the only county offices not issuing marriage licenses, mm-hmm. and they brought the media with them.
Oh, the media just happened to follow them, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. But they passed every other county clerk from Ohio mm-hmm. to Kentucky that would issue them a license to go to the one that would not issue them a license. And then the narrative that we're supposed to swallow like blind sheep to slaughter is that they just love each other. Okay.
Where does that end?
Where does it end? Diane, thank you so much for your time. Stay with us. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. I am your host, Kathy Barnett. Here's your call-in number, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. Diane, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. I'm so glad you stayed on through that very long break. You know, I wanted to give you the last word, and I also wanted you to tell people what you guys are up to, how they can get in touch with you, subscribe, and assist.
Okay. Our website is afaofpa.org. That's afaofpa.org. And folks can sign up for our email alerts. And we do a semi-weekly update. Try to do that weekly, but it doesn't always happen. And there's also archives on there where they can listen to interviews that I've done under the Listen tab. And we're just trying to keep track of things that are going on here in Pennsylvania and to provide information about some of the dangers of some of the bills that have been introduced in Harrisburg, as well as keep up to date on things that are going on around the country, especially issues like Kim Davis has been involved in when it comes to the issue of marriage. Because that's really when we're redefining marriage, we're redefining the foundation of this nation.
Exactly.
And we're treading on hazardous ground.
Yeah, exactly. And even for those of us who would on any other given day find ourselves in the same camp, splitting hairs on what she, you know, if she should have turned left. No, she should have turned right on that issue. It really does defeat and deplete the energy of what is needed from us in order to engage our culture.
Right. And we just have to read the New Testament to see how the disciples engage the culture. And we need to be willing to engage the culture also, not just to sit passively by. Christians need to become engaged in the culture.
I agree. Thank you so much, Diane. Diane Gramley, once again, is the director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Diane, how can they get in touch with you? Once again, what's your website?
Website is afaofpa.org.
afaofpa.org.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And again, that newsletter, guys, is worth you going out there and subscribing at afaofpa.org.
.org.
Yeah. .org, sorry.
Yeah.
It is really quick. It's like a one pager, everything you need to know generally of just kind of highlight very high level synopsis of what's going on, and it keeps you informed.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Diane.
Thanks for having me, Kathy.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. And now I get the wonderful opportunity of kind of turning the tables a little bit right now, because now we're at that point of the show where we do a spotlight on various people and organizations within our community that are up to some really amazing things. And I was reading my guest in the studio with me right now, Susan Geis. I was reading her bio, and I was like, and I just jumped up and said, I got to run out of here and go meet this woman. I mean, this would be the kind of person I want to be when I grow up.
Aww.
It's like, just, you know, you see a need, and you engage. You don't equivocate. You don't sit and try to, you know, try to rally people to come along with you. As I'm reading your bio, let me do her bio some justice here, and just kind of pull out some of the highlight. But Suzanne and Richard Geis founded a nonprofit organization 10 years ago with a little plush puppy, Woofy. And let me tell you, he is so cute. A puppy with a purpose. And his purpose was to share the salvation message on a drop tag off his ear and a permanent collar with the paw print colors matching the tag. Under Woofy's ears says, one ear, if you lift it up, says, Jesus loves you. And the other ear says, precious are the feet that bring the good news. And to bring comfort to everyone that is in need of a hug and a message of God's great love for them. Now, let me just tell you, Woofy is busy. He's in over 60. There are over 66,000 of him. Talk about multitasking. In over 50 countries and every state in the United States. Suzanne is a public speaker. At one point, she had a women's seminar she founded called Soul Survivors. She also founded Ambassadors of Hope out of Africa. She started a sponsorship program for children in the village to feed, educate, and clothe them. She also built a dormitory for them. Suzanne and Richard, I keep calling you Susan, I'm sorry. That Suzanne and matter. Richard, they have a ministry in Germany where they minister to military family for over 30 years. Then she went to Romania and saw some children there on her way back and was like, oh my God, let me help them. So she ended up building, the little kids could not go to school because they were dirty. You can't go to school dirty. So her organization, ended up building, full bathrooms, shower, sink, and toilets, washer and dryer to clean their clothes, giving them the opportunity to get an education. The program works this way, guys. You donate $20, you receive a Woofy, and then the second Woofy is given to a needy person. So all of these activities they're doing, because I asked her, I said, how do you do all of these things that you're doing? And it's via Woofy. And it's so simple. You donate $20 and then you receive a Woofy, which is so cute. And then a second Woofy is given to a needy person. And a portion of that $20 goes to do all the amazing things.
And the books. And the books help and the other characters help.
The other books. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now with that, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for having us.
I'm so glad you're here. Oh, I mean, seriously, right? Because we're in a culture where everyone wants to pontificate and talk in really big, glowing words. And then you say, okay, well, here's something you can do. Well, you know, I'm so busy. I got so much to do on my own plate. And you are just kind of, you and your husband, it appears, just kind of looked around. I mean, as you're walking, you just see stuff. You're just like,
God,
what can I do?
God just brings it in. He does.
And you listen.
And then you listen. Well, we actually prayed 25 years for a ministry and to share the gospel. And I have done public speaking for, I don't know, 35 years. So I thought initially I was just going to do public speaking and ladies' seminars and so forth. But when we went to Romania, that was not even in there. But I was an orphan as a child. So I have a heart for children, needy children. So when we went to an orphanage in Romania and they cried in my arms and I just absolutely fell apart. So I walked out and I just begged the Lord to give me something that would comfort them and bring the love of Jesus. I had no idea it was going to be Woof. None. But I continued to pray. And then a friend of mine who I nicknamed Woofy had an aneurysm burst in his stomach, a pastor friend. And I went to a store, bought a dog, laid it on his bag. And I said, every time you look at this, Bob, just remember, God loves you. God loves you. And we're praying for you. They gave him like, I don't know, 10% to live. Well, he lived. And we were headed back to Romania. And I went back to the store. I had no idea. But I went back to the store to get another puppy. Why? I didn't know. And there was nowhere puppies. So I went back to Bob, asked Bob, and he did not want to give me that puppy. And I said, Bob, you're a pastor, 65, I said. And he goes, nope, you're not checking my dog. Well, through the conversation, he finally let me have Woofy very reluctantly on the airplane. I had one dog, and I was going to see hundreds of children. And I started to pray, and I said, Lord, Lord, what am I going to do with one dog? What am I even going to call him? And it just came to me. puppy, Wolfie the missionary puppy. And I'm like, okay, there can be one missionary, one puppy. That's all good. So then I started praying, well, what am I going to say to the children with this one dog? Lord, I need something to say. I need a story. And instantly, the first book came. And I turned to my husband and I said, oh, listen, the story God just gave me. He said, tell the children when we get there. So that's how we got the very first book that shared the love of Jesus, where little Lauren prays and accepts the Lord. So we shared the book with the children all through the visit. When we got back home, a local man, Alan McBain, who is an illustrator, through a friend, contacted me and said, I want to read the story. And I went, well, okay. And so that's how the books began. And then everything we do, I must say, has come out of prayer. It's a constant prayer. And, you know, the one scripture that I love in Romans is, through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority to tell everyone everywhere what God has done for us so that they will believe and obey and bring glory to his name. Yeah. And that is our total purpose, is to bring people to Christ and bring glory to his name. It's all about the Lord. It's all about what Jesus has done. Wow. And that's our ultimate purpose.
I mean, and isn't that what it's supposed to be about anyway?
Well, that, you know, he says, store up your treasures for heaven, for the things of earth are going to tarnish and fade away. So what are you going to take with you? I know I've collected all kinds of junk along the way. I know it's not going with me, but I know that when I get up there, that the seeds that we planted, and we're all farmers, and we're just called, the commission is to plant, you know, and then it'll be watered, and then God will reap it. So I think this is, to me, the most important thing, is to plant those seeds out there. And in the culture that we're in now, where it's becoming more and more difficult to even share the good news in the United States, it's even more important that Christians stand up. You know, Sue Geis and Rick, even though there's 66,000 out there, we certainly can't do it alone. And Christians all, you know, and people say, well, I'm timid and I'm this. He says, no, I made you bold.
Yeah.
So we
all. And he wired us individually. I mean, I am an extrovert by nature.
Right.
But someone else may not be. But God wired us exactly the way he wanted us to be. I love that image of him knitting me together.
That's right.
And putting everything that I would need when he called me, I would be able to respond to him.
It's all about him.
I am so encouraged. I am so encouraged. You're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL with Kathy Barnett. We'll be right back. Hello, and we're back. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Call-in number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. I needed a break after talking to Suzanne. I was getting so choked up, and we're just talking away during the break. I'm like, oh, my gosh, let's see if we can recapture a little bit of that conversation. Because, you know, what was really I mean, almost everything you said is like, it's like me talking to the Lord myself, because as I'm standing and I'm looking at all of this foolishness and mayhem going on all around, I'm standing there saying, God, what can I do? God, tell me what I can do. Because, I mean, I'm a pretty industrious kind of person. I can think of a lot of different things to do. But to your point earlier, I only want to do what it is that God would have me to do, because only those things are going to be profitable. Only those things can I take with him. I don't want a name for myself. I'm okay with the platform that I have, but God, what can I do? I want to do something, right? Absolutely. And so I was so encouraged as you were talking, because God gave you a puppy.
Yes. Who would have thought it?
People laughed. Who would have thunk it? I know you were telling me during the break that people were like, oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, that was not, they were not encouraging me, but it was so, I knew it and I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm stepping out. If you don't want this, then close, but I'm not going to.
But it was not neon signs, go get Woofy. But you felt a prodding from God of, okay, do this. Okay, now, you know, and me, and I'm reminded.
And I asked for the open doors.
An open door.
And that constantly, I said, if this be you, I'll go behind you. You just go before me. And he constantly, I didn't know where to get him manufactured in this initially. I prayed about that. I'm still working. A young woman came into my office, interviewed her, and I said, what was your previous job? I was an import-export. I said, really? I said, know where you know where I could get this dog made? And he said, yeah, I'll call.
But you were also telling me that initially you just wanted, you were thinking, you know, very small, you know, I just want 400, you know, 400 orphans, and then I go somewhere and sit down. Now, again, as I said earlier, Woofie, there's like 66,000 Woofies, right. But you initially started off with the thought, okay, I just take 400, but because of economy of scales, organizations want you to take much more than just 400 because exactly. It's only profitable to them if they can sell in bulk. So you were having a very difficult time just finding someone to do the 400. And then tell our listeners what you told me.
Then God brought a man who was from Korea. His father was buried alive in faith, and the only thing he had hanging out his arm, they dug him out. His son is the one said, if you want 400, I'll make you.
Amen. You know, I mean, and it's just so amazing. You know, a couple of passages are coming to mind. One that says, I will tell you, turn left. Okay, now turn right. You know, that he will literally guide our steps. Okay, turn left. Okay, now wait, pause. Mm-hmm. Okay, now turn right. Mm-hmm. But then again, in Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus says, see, I am the one that is open, that has put an open door in front of you. Mm-hmm. And the door that I open, no man will close. And what I close, no man will open. And amen. I get so much encouragement from that. And if you guys are encouraged by just listening to this story, if you want to just share, you know, your story of what God has done, please give us a call at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, because I am just amazed. And when you were telling me the aspect of the story of this Korean man saying my father was buried alive for his faith, I mean, we are fast approaching that time in America.
I mean,
you really have to be blind or just dumb to not be able to see Christianity is under fire. This thing of the homosexual agenda, it has nothing to do with marriage, because if that was the case, then they would just go somewhere, get married and go sit down somewhere. It has nothing to do with marriage. It is about criminalizing Christianity at some degree, at some point. But really, it's about forcing us to just shut up, do what I say, get in line, and I'm going to force you to go against your conscience. I'm going to force you to do what I want you to do.
You have to step out in faith. When we were going to get 400, and then it expanded to 6,300, a half a container. And we prayed, and my husband said, get the 6,300. And I said, Rick, what if nobody gets what we're doing? He goes, it doesn't matter, Sue. We'll give them away. The important thing is that people need the Lord. So you have to stop saying, I can't. You can through God's grace. Nothing we did was on our own. You have to rely on Him. And if you rely on Him, He'll make it happen. Because it's not about you. It's all about Him.
It is all about Him. And I am talking to Suzanne Geis, Suzanne and Richard Geis. They founded a nonprofit organization 10 years ago with a little plush puppy, Woofie, a puppy with a purpose. And he is so cute. You lift up one of his in, and he's so fluffy.
he totally brings comfort. He does. That's what
he brings
about.
Comfort. And if you lift up one of his ears, it says, Jesus loves you. And on the other ear, it says, precious are the feet that bring the good news.
Amen.
Now, how did this program work? Because at the top of this hour, I talked about the plethora of just engagement. You're like walking and like, bam, you trip over a new opportunity
to tell someone
about Christ. I mean, well, you're just walking and praying and bam, she's in Germany. Then she's on her way back home. I guess you stop in Romania. I don't know. You're just like all over the world.
Well, it's not just, we've decided now that yes, we have, they're in 50 countries and we've been in many countries, but we've decided as we look at this country, we really need Jesus in this country.
We do.
And so what we've done is we have bought an RV and we're going around the country, and we have churches that we're contacting as we go, and we're going to be asking them, do you know any group? Because we do Salvation Army, we do Crisis, you name it, we do it. And so please tell us a group of people, orphanages, children's homes, wherever it may be. You can go online and see all the different things that we have contacted and given puppies to. So we want to go out around the country and, of course, plant the seed with Woofie. Now, in this area, and this is any church, what we did was we start what is called Woofie Banks. We don't have to be in your church and speak, but a lot want us to come because we come with a full-size Woofie and we do a whole program for the children. But when they donate $20, the person will receive a puppy, and then we leave behind to that church or to that nonprofit organization that second free puppy. We don't tell them what to do. We ask them to pray about it and to give them away. They can't sell the free puppy. They have to give them away. So that's how they've gotten all around the world, because these churches take them on mission trips. Mm. And then they connect us, you know, with all kinds of, for instance, we gave them to all of the children with the Amish tragedy through somebody. So people then call us up and will say, you know, Suzanne, we need puppies for here. Can we take puppies there? So that's how we've got hundreds of free Woofie Banks around the nation.
So how can people reach you?
Just you can go woofie.org. Our number's on there. You can call.
Woofie is W-O-O-F-I. .org. Mm-hmm. Woofie.org. Mm-hmm. W-O-O-F-I. F as in Frank. I.org. So you can reach them there.
Or call.
Or call.
At 610-287-6073.
Say that again.
287-6073. Or they can use Woofie Missions at AOL.com if they like using the computer. But it's easy to get a hold of us.
Yes, and the one, probably one of the easiest one, is going to woofie.org, W-O-O-F-I.org. You're listening to It's a New Day, and I have my guest in here, Suzanne Geist. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For being
what
with
a pleasure.
Us.
Thank you so much.
Thank
God
you.
Be the glory.
To God be the glory.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
Hello, it's a new day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. Here's a call-in number, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. Let me tell you, I have had my full measure of encouragement today. Russell, has there been a time when I didn't start crying or something? It's like, oh my God, I am so just so encouraged when you see the people of God being engaged in the work of God. It just really does something to my heart. And my last guest, Miss Suzanne Geist, who is still here in the studio with us, but getting ready to leave. Just thank you so very much for coming and sharing just the words of encouragement to see an example. But the encouragement is not over yet. I have my very dear friend, Susan Day, online with us. Susan, are you there?
I'm right here. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Susan Day. It's a new day, Susan Day.
It is indeed.
Thank you so much for making yourself available to come and share with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here with you, Kathy.
Yes, I love Susan. Let me just tell you guys that Susan and her husband, Greg, I may love Greg a little bit more, Susan.
She does. We all know it here.
But I love your family. And, you know, the moment, I mean, we have to just share real quickly because I just think it kind of sets up, you know, just, I mean, I think it tells who you are and who you have always been since the moment I met you. I can't even think how long ago it was now. Oh, my goodness. Maybe six years ago.
It was 6 years
ago. When I met you, we were at a book writing conference, and I'm walking down the aisle, once again, minding my own business, and here comes Susan, and her name is Susan Day, and literally, it's like the sun beams from her eyes, and she's walking up the aisle as I'm walking down the aisle, and she just says to me, "You're so beautiful," and I'm like, "Well, thank you."
And, indeed you are, girlfriend.
Well, thank you once again. But, you know, when you just have like a complete stranger, it's a packed house. I think I may have been running late. And then here you come. I'm rushing down to my seat. And here you come, just full of encouragement. And then I saw you a little bit later in the women's restroom. And there you were again. Hi! It was almost as if we knew each other.
Indeed.
It was, right? And it's so very funny, but God is just so amazing in how he brings these wonderful connections. And over the years, you have been very true to who I imagine you to be that very day. Just a woman of God, just so full of joy and so full of hope. And that's the reason why I called you like yesterday and just wanted you to be on the show today in this culture, which I often say is going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, there's mayhem and foolishness. And I would describe it to you as being in Alice of Wonderland. You know, it's a topsy turvy kind of world. Up is down, down is up. I just wanted you to come on and just share some words of hope of how we are to be anchored in this culture.
Well, Kathy, I think the first step is we have to remember what the Word says. And God's Word in 1 Corinthians 14 says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of..." And yes, the culture around us feels chaotic. And yet, none of this is a surprise to God. He's mm-hmm. not walking back and forth, pacing and wringing his hands, saying, "This is a surprise." This is all part of God's divine and perfect order. And so I look at the culture right now, not from the perspective of fear and worry, but as you said, who do I put my hope and strength in? And I put my hope and strength and anchor myself to the Word of God and what he promises us. And yes, I do believe Christians need to be involved. They need to read. They need to watch the news and be discerning and measure what they hear and measure what they see against the Word of God. And where I really think every morning, Kathy, you had asked me yesterday, you know, what's a tool? What do you use to really stay grounded? And I think we're moving to, and I think it starts with starting each day with getting quiet, 10 minutes. And one of the things I share with my clients, there's 1,440 minutes in every day. Take 10. Take 10 of those 1,440. Start there and just be still. As Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I think it's being quiet with him. And it's not about prayer time. It's not about just going to him with a list of requests. Just get grounded in it. Anchor yourself in who he is. He says he's our rest. He says he's our strength. He says he's our hope, our comforter, our guide. And so in the midst of the chaos, Kathy, you and I are called and we're wired very differently. You are so in-tuned and attuned to all the events because of what you do in the world, and you're well-versed on all of them. And I think it's wonderful and brilliant, and yet I believe that my calling is to get quiet with him so that when I do step out and I meet someone like you at a conference, I'm not reflecting happiness. I'm reflecting the joy of the Lord.
I love that, right? Because happiness is based on happenings, based on things working out well for you that day, whereas joy is a much more substantive and rooted emotion.
Absolutely. And Kath, it's about standing firm on his promise. And either we believe that the Word of God is true or we don't. There's no middle ground. Either you believe he is your refuge, you believe he is your strength and your hope, or you don't. And I think there's two things that Christians in particular fail to remember. And where my hope and joy come from is I think that Ephesians 6 is so key to walking in the armor of God and with it on and putting on the armor every day. I don't look at that as, oh, fairy dust and let's just, you know, say it's something that was written 2,000 years ago. He told us, put on the armor because we are in a spiritual battle. Look at the various things that your guests are talking about today. We are in a spiritual, so we darn well better be equipped putting on the armor.
Before you do anything else, and that's one of the things I loved about the previous guest I had on here, Suzanne, fan of just kind of listening to, reading her bio and just kind of listening to her story of wanting to be engaged. And then one of the key things she was saying is, you know, it's all for God. And if it's not for God, then why am I doing what I'm doing? And you know, I mean, and to your point, in this culture that is just so busy, so rush all the time, you forget that it's not about you and that it's about someone other than you. I mean, not only is it about God first and foremost, but it's also about others around you, prior to you. But I think we're just in such a self-consumed and self-focused society. It's really hard to take time to stop and take time and to reevaluate.
And Kathy, it comes down to that wonderful word called choice.
Mm.
And how do you choose to spend this day? And I'll return back to that simple tool of 10 minutes. If we cannot take 10 minutes to be still and just get grounded, then something bigger is wrong. Because if you can't carve out 10 out of those 1,440, and I start with every client when I was coaching, sharing with them, you have a choice. How are you going to wake up? Are you going to wake up in a frenzy? Or are you going to wake up in trusting and being still and getting quiet? And that's for Christians and non-Christians. We all have a choice of how we're going to start our day. And I do believe that the enemy loves when we operate out of fear, when we talk out of fear, because then he knows he has us ensnared. And
but
I refuse.
You know, exactly. And one of the things that causes us to be in fear is something that you said earlier, and that is busyness. I mean, when you're so busy, you don't have time to think. You're just reacting. And it's a very easy way for fear to creep in when you're just reacting and you're not stopping to think and ponder and to analyze situations. So, I mean, and that's so interesting that you would say 10 minutes out of 1,440. Can't we find 10 minutes out of a whole day of minutes?
And isn't he worthy of those 10 minutes? Sometimes when people say to me, where would I find that 10 minutes? And I said, get up 10 minutes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes earlier. I'm not saying get up an hour early. And I do think, Kathy, I think it comes down to choice, as we've just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And then I think it's at any moment, you and I can check. Am I coming from fear or am I coming from love? Because that's what everything stems from. Is what I said just came out of my mouth, did it come from fear or did it come from love? Is what I'm thinking coming from fear or coming from love? Your listeners today, as they're driving into work, they can ask themselves, is my last conversation with my spouse this morning, was it from fear or love? Is what I'm thinking, saying, and doing? Use that as your yardstick every morning.
Mm.
It's a simple tool, and it'll tell you if you're grounded in the world or you're grounded in the Lord.
Guys, you are listening to my dear friend, Susan Day. She is the author of Divine and Perfect Order, that also comes along with a companion journal, 52 Simple Truths, Simple Tools, and Simple Words of Wisdom for Your Life. My dear friend, Miss Susan Day, a speaker encourager. And we're gonna close out with Susan when we come back on the other side of this break. Susan, you stay right there, and guys, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Desi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach, Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
WFYL's financial expert, Michael Novak, can be heard here on The Balanced Life. A certified financial planner and charter member of Kingdom Advisors, Michael is passionate about total life stewardship that helps you reach your full potential. Contact Michael Novak today at lifestewardshipadvisors.com or call 717-560-2813 to get greater clarity on your life vision, gain increased joy in giving, and find peace for the days ahead. Reach your full potential with Mike Novak at Life Stewardship Advisors.
Have you thought about your own mortality? At some point, concern of your family leads you to wonder how you would cope with the cost if you were to die. That's where your life insurance can help provide the resources to protect your family and finances. Hi, I'm Bruce Henge of the Henge Agency. My mission is to help individuals make wise decisions and to help protect the future of their families. For a custom consultation, call me at 215-704-6385. That's Bruce Henge at 215-704-6385.
A new day with Kathy Barnett, your host on 1180 WFYL. Here's that call-in number, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. If you want to talk to Miss Susan Day, then please let your voice be heard. Give us a call at 610-539-TALK. In addition to the many things she does, Susan is also a life coach. So if you have some issues, you want to know how to rightly think about those things, give us a call. Again, 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. Susan, you still there, right?
I'm right here.
Yes, I'm looking at your book, Divine in Perfect Order, that comes along with a companion journal. So not, you know, so I mean, like, this would be a perfect way of taking those 10 minutes. I mean, what you write is very short, very quick to the point, very rooted and with wisdom, with words of wisdom. And then there's a journal that asks you questions that allows you to kind of sit and still yourself. And I was flipping through, and number five is take responsibility for your choices. It's never too late if you want tomorrow to be different than today. However, you must be willing to take responsibility for all of your choices. Everything you do is based on the choices you make. Don't make excuses. Refuse to point your finger at your childhood, the economy. I'm going to throw in the president, the Congress, Supreme Court, your spouse, your age. Just take responsibility. And that's exactly what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. Kath, it starts with our thoughts and taking, we have to hold our thoughts captive. We have to say, what am I choosing to do today? And how am I going to make a difference in this world? Am I going to go out and be the light? It really comes down to, am I going to be the light or am I going to be add to the culture's darkness? And people are watching. Well, they're watching you. Your children are watching you. The culture's watching you. And you can respond from fear or you can respond from a place of trust in the Lord.
Amen. Susan, thank you so much for being on and giving us, the right perspective on how to think as we're looking at this culture that is flying past us. How can we reach you?
You can reach me at www.susanday.me. And I do have a weekly newsletter. I don't inundate people. I just give you something to think about and something to really go out and live your life and shine your light brightly, because that's what we're called to do, be salt and light in this world.
Well, Susan, I love you so much. Please hug my Greg for me and little Miss Allie.
I will do so.
Talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye. Now, yes, that was Susan, such a wonderful person. So very grateful for God for putting her in my life. We just Al just walked into the studio. Sounds like you feel, it looks like you have something pressing on your mind.
I just wanted to make a brief statement here. I was just thinking in recent days, the homosexual community has been pressing their agenda against the Constitution and for same-sex marriage and so on and so forth. I just wanted to say that here at WFYL 1180 on your dial, we believe in learning from history. And when I was young, people couldn't understand how a reasonably great country like Germany could be taken over by Hitler. The bottom line is I studied it. My sister gave me books on Germany. And basically, here's what some information that you might learn from history about. Hitler used the homosexual community to provide leadership for the brown shirts. Ernest Röhm was a homosexual. All the leadership, the officers in the brown shirts were homosexual. He rose to power. Once he became powerful, a dictator, he formed the SS, and he basically exterminated the homosexual community. Basically, he knighted long knives. They killed hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And in case you think that it couldn't happen here in the United States, if you go to the internet and search for what happened in Barack Obama's church, three homosexual men were killed about a year before Barack Obama ran for president. So just history, just facts here in the United States. And I would caution anybody to study history, and you'll learn that history repeats itself. We don't want that sort of thing. We'd never, ever want a Hitler here in the United States. And God bless you all for listening to WFYL 1180 on the dial.
Yes. Thank you so much, Al, for sharing that. It's so very profound, so very wise. And, oh, my goodness, you know, we have to get a right perspective. This, what is transpiring all around us in the recent, in our recent history with Kim Davis, it's so much bigger than Kim Davis. I'm so grateful to God for Kim Davis. But this is so much bigger than a Kim Davis. This is so much bigger even than the homosexual agenda. I mean, the ultimate goal is to force out of the public square any personal conscience, that any sense of morality, if your personal conscience is more rooted and guided in Christian beliefs, that gives you a moral compass, they want to root that out. Because how else can one who has a desire for a dictatorship or to take over more control can get that control unless he finds some topic, i.e. the homosexual agenda, that will begin to force people to lay down their religious freedom. Now, I know this sounds so kooky, right? Because it has never happened in America. And for most of you, it can never happen solely because it has never happened in America. But we need to begin to pull our heads up out of the proverbial sand and begin to look around, begin to think outside of ourselves, look at history. America has been that beacon of light, so much different. But there's a reason why the First Amendment and the Second Amendment specifically is being so targeted, because you first of all have to get people to move away from thinking you can determine your own life, instead make you force you to rely on the opinions and thoughts of the elite group to tell you what to do, to tell you how you feel, to tell you how you think. And then secondly, just in case we have some rebels who want to dare stand against the government, telling them what to think, telling them how to live, telling them what to do and where to go, we're going to take away your Second Amendment, so you will not be able to protect yourself. And now you will be forced, for the most part, to relinquish your freedoms. I mean, and these freedoms that we're so willing, it seems, in some cases, to relinquish, we're going to want those freedoms. Those are pretty important freedoms, freedom of conscience. And that's what freedom of religion is. It's the freedom to say, this is how I choose to live my life. I choose to live my life, if you are of a religious bent, based on that. If you're not, if you're an atheist, I choose to be an atheist. And that all falls under religion, freedom of conscience. conscious. But then also the freedom of speech. You know, I can't go into a fire. I can't go into a theater and scream fire because that harms now your freedoms or imposing upon others' freedoms. But for the most part, we have the right to say, this is how I feel about a topic. And I just want to leave you with this. We're coming up on our last minute. And it was one that it was a passage out of the Word of God, out of the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 16 on. And this is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We will not bow down. We will not just resign. We will not just go somewhere and sit down and shut up and stick our head in the sand. I just want you to know, O king, even if my God does not come down here and rescue us, we will not bow a knee. We need to begin to realize who we are. See you next week.
Get evil rulers, and God is clear that when the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Today, our leaders arrogantly scoff at God and shamelessly violate his commands. And as God said would happen, the righteous are mourning. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. At APN, we encourage pastors to speak as prophets and boldly shout forth the truth to our leaders. On Mount Carmel, King Ahab, the evil political ruler, accused Elijah, the man of God, of being the source of Israel's economic troubles, because he called sin, sin. Elijah did what pastors today must do when he declared, I'm not the reason our land is suffering, O Ahab. It's you and the others in leadership because you've rejected God, his authority, and his commands. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network saying, modern day Elijahs are needed now more than ever. Will you encourage your pastor to speak like Elijah?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.